We are so glad that you joined us today. We welcome you to our online community, those that are listening to this on podcast. Man, we just want you to know that you are part of our Thrive Tribe. You're part of our community of believers. We're just so honored that you would take time to share with us a part of your day. If you enjoy the content, man, we just ask that you do us a favor. If you'll take time just to rate or review this on whatever platform you listen, it just helps us out, and we'd be most grateful. If you'd like to contribute to the ministry, we'd love to have you join us and partner with us in that. You can simply go to our website, thrivechurchonline.com. Just follow the giving tabs. Without any further reservation, let's just jump right into today's message. Good morning and welcome to Thrive Church, man. We're just so excited that you're here today. Have you ever got ready to start a message out and you just knew, or maybe for you it's not a message, but you got ready to start a conversation out and you just knew that the way you wanted to start out, like the reel that was playing in your head was totally different than the way that you knew you should start it out? And so that's kind of where I'm at this morning, because in my head, as I prepared for this message, basically over and over and over again, all I've heard is, the devil's a liar, the devil's a liar, the devil's a liar, the devil's a liar. And it's just kind of been this reel that's played over and over and over again in my head. And kind of as so for the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of coming out of the Shallow series. And I don't know that coming out is the right word. What we believe, if you haven't listened to the Shallow series, man, please go back. It's on our church website. It's on every podcasting platform known to man. We're everywhere. But basically, Shallows was a series that dealt with your identity. It dealt with the things that you need to do to go deep with God, to come out of the shallows into the deep places. And so basically that whole series was built around one, man, you have to hear what God says and what God places inside of you. And that the way to really grow your faith is to get into the Word of God, to get into prayer, to get into worship, to have an attitude of gratitude, just to begin to build some things in your faith that really take you into a deeper place with God. And so we did that. And then last week, we taught a series that basically was go. Our church works off of a principle of discipleship: know, grow, and go. And really, it's the foundation of everything that Thrive Church will ever do. And we believe this, that this is a place where you can come to know God. Once you come to know God, man, you should really grow with God. It should really be a place where you come and your faith can explode, and you can learn, and you can develop, and you can move on. And then last, you should go. But the grow and the go always overlap, because you never finish growing in your faith. Paul, the apostle, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, said this: not that I have yet achieved these things. Paul said, man, I don't have it all figured out either, but I'm pushing towards a mark. I see where I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get towards Jesus as much as I can. And then he went as far as he said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said this, he said that as I pursue Jesus, you can follow me, because, man, I'll lead you somewhere. And basically, we believe this as a church, is that as you mature, you should build followers that can follow you as you follow Christ. So if you haven't checked those messages out, please be sure to do that. But as I sat in my office on Monday morning, I began to ask the question, what really keeps people from being everything that God wants them to? So what keeps people from going to the deep end? What keeps them in the shallows? And really, I came to this answer, and that's that the devil is a liar. I don't believe it's because God didn't equip you. I don't believe it's because you're not smart enough, or that you don't know enough, or that you're not whatever. And really, this isn't just about sharing your faith. This is about living your life. How do you live your life when you constantly have a liar, which is the enemy, trying to whisper into your ear? How can you be the husband or wife that you're supposed to be when the devil's constantly whispering in your ear? How can you be the parent that you're supposed to be when the devil whispers in your ear how horrible you are? Or how can you be the employee or the boss and that you're supposed to be when you constantly have this liar reel running through your head? So I'll give you the title to my message in just a minute, but before we do, I kind of want to establish that the devil is a liar. In case you don't realize how sinister the devil is, I just really want to take you to a place where we understand biblically the way the devil operates. John 8:44 says this. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is the liar, is a liar and the father of lies. Now, I want to circle back around to something that said, you know, that the devil was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth. Man, Jesus goes on later and he says, man, when you know the truth will set you free. Will set you free from what? A lot of us are held captive by the thoughts and the reels that play in our head. And unfortunately, a lot of us are watching a fictional movie that the devil created. We're listening to a fictional narrative about our own life that the devil created. It's not at all what God said. But man, we sit and we listen to it and that real plays and we don't know how to stop it. And it plays to the point where we begin to buy the lies. So you have to understand this, that the enemy has a realist. It says this, he said, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. And the enemy, for a lot of you, have been lying to you on such a deep level that it's affected how you've lived your life. It's affected how you parented. It's affected how you've come to church. It's affected how you pray. It's affected how you try to raise your kids. How you go to work. How you function in your career. How you function in your private life. How you function when nobody's looking, and how you function when everybody's looking. It's kept you from doing things, and it's encouraged you to do some things that you knew were bad for you. And you know why? Because we bought a lie. You got to understand this, that the lies that some of us are buying into are not only bad for us in the sense of they're not good for our for us emotionally and spiritually and physically. Man, ultimately they can lead to our death. I want you to show you this, John 10:10. For the thief comes only to do three things. For John 10:10, the thief comes only to kill, to steal, and destroy. The enemy comes to do three things. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's come to steal your time. He's come to steal your life. He's come to steal your destiny. He's come to steal your money. He's come to steal your family. He's come to steal. Does this make sense? Man, I understand that there's a real enemy there. And he's come to steal from me. He's come to kill stuff off, man. He's come to kill my dreams. And he's come to kill my God-given destinies that are in my life and my God-given roles that I'm supposed to play. And you know what he's come to destroy, man? He's come to absolutely train wreck your life. Now, before you get really depressed and you think, man, this is not the message that I really wanted to tune into today, because you're telling me how bad it is. And let's be honest, in our culture, we've all become pretty keenly aware of how bad things are. But I'm going to tell you this, if there wasn't hope, I love the second half of this. John 10:10, the thief comes to do three things, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I came that you may have life and have life abundantly. God said this. He said, I've come that you can have life. And an abounding life means this. It's not a full life. Everybody that I talk to, they're talking about, man, I just want to live a full life. I want to live a full life. Well, if you abound in something, that's not only full, but that's full to overflowing. To abound means that you have more than what you're actually able to contain inside the vessel that God created you to be. So God said this. He said, I've come that you can have life and have so much life that it spills into the life of other people. It goes back to that go part, man, that sometimes if we can break free from this wheel of lies that we're buying, God said, man, I can get you to a place where you live such a life that it abounds into the lives of other people. Matter of fact, James 4:7 begins to give us the beginning of the key to this. So we've established that the devil's a liar and he's the father of all lies and that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And then Jesus begins to give us this glimmer of hope. And really, in the world that we live in, what we need is a glimmer of hope. We need to know that, man, we can have an abundant life. In the midst of Rona, we can have an abundant life. In the midst of when people sneeze and everybody turns around like you did something horrible. I heard an expression that said, I used to cough to cover when I accidentally broke wind or had to break wind in a public place. And they said, now I break wind to cover if I've got a cough. Just because society has shifted so much that it's one of the, I know this is very super crude, but it was funny. But man, so what I feel like people are looking for right now is hope. And so what I want to shift you from is getting out of this, of buying these lies and getting into this new thing. James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit yourself to God. So here's what we believe, that if you will begin, if you go back and listen to the Go Deep series, man, it's, again, it's on our podcast, it's on our website, it's everywhere that you can possibly search for it. But if you go back to that Shallow series, so that you begin the process of going deep, and if you'll begin to pray, and you'll begin to get in the Word of God, and you'll begin to worship God, and you'll begin to become thankful and be extroverted in your thankfulness, and you'll begin to go and impact the lives of other people. Here's what we believe. We believe this, that man, as you submit yourself in those areas, it'll be real evident what's God and what's the devil, so that when you identify the devil, then based on that relationship that you're growing, as you've submitted yourself to God, that if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. What does resist look like? One of my favorite things to do, and I really hate to admit this, but I love to watch police videos. And not the ones like made for TV. I'm more of like a YouTube cell phone kind of guy. And some of my favorite one to watch are the resisting videos, especially the ones that were kind of pre all the police stuff and all that stuff. Because now their body cams and all this stuff. But back before people knew they were being recorded, man, you'll see some good old fashioned melees. I mean, like cops and robbers like swinging down on each other and beating each other up and gun belts flying and all that. And it's horrible, but I enjoy watching that stuff. And so when people go, well, how much do I need to resist the devil? What I tell them to do is go watch YouTube. You want to know what resist means? It's not just, hey, I pulled my arm away. Resist sometimes is a good old-fashioned beat down of somebody. Does that make sense? Like we're going to wrestle this thing out on the ground. Like somebody, like we're going to need an ambulance at the end of this. So what Scripture says is, man, submit yourself to God, but then be ready to get in a fight with the devil for your mind and for your freedom and for the things that God said that you can have. And does this make sense? I watched a video one time of this lady. And she had a pocketbook, and this guy ran by and tried to grab it from her. And so she just resisted. She just held on. And when she did, what she didn't know is that the guy in front of her was a martial arts instructor. And he just turned around and like back kicks the guy right in the face and just drops him. And really, that's the way God works. God said this. He said, if you'll submit yourself and you'll resist the enemy when he comes to try to tell you these lies and he comes to try to tell you these things, I'll just turn around and back kick him. So, man, there's hope. There's hope that you don't have to keep buying a lie that maybe you've believed all your life. Do you remember when you were little? So I grew up with three sisters, all older than me. I was the baby. And so when you grow up in that environment, one of the things that happens is this, is that inevitably you'll get in insult fights, especially when you're little. I've got one of my next oldest sister is only 2 years older than me. So, man, we got into some good ones, and we'd start name calling and all this stuff. And inevitably somebody would say this, and this is the title of my message. Somebody go, liar, liar, pants on fire. Then the other one that we would say is this, is we would say, I'm like rubber and you're like glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks on you. And you know what? Really, these are biblical principles. If you know somebody who constantly lies, why would you ever believe anything that they say? Well, you wouldn't. No, nobody in their right mind would ever do that. But we know that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we know that if we submit ourselves to God, and then he'll have to flee. But yet so many of us spend so much time listening to his lies. We listen to his lies about our self-image, about our family, about our parenting, about our marriage. We listen to him about the economy and about the presidency, and we listen, right? We just sit and we just go off on this, and we're listening to something that we know is lies when we're buying into it. But here's the funny thing. So we know that the devil is a liar, liar, and ultimately, let's be honest, his pants will be on fire. Because, and you know, when this world ends, we know from Scripture that he will be cast into the lake of fire. Him and the folks that followed him, and that their punishment is an eternity in hell. And so here's my question: could it be time for us to wake up and stop listening to the voice of a liar? That maybe the lies that the enemy tells you are really what is about him, not about you. I talk to so many people, and And I just want to ask you, do any of these apply? What lies have you really been buying from the enemy? Have you been lying? Have you been listening to the lies of self-image? That because you're too big or you're too small or you're too short or you're too tall, that somehow you're worth less. Maybe because your marriage isn't going so good, or maybe you're recently divorced, or maybe your marriage is struggling, or maybe you know that you shouldn't be struggling in your marriage, but somehow you are, or that your marriage is doomed, or that your finances are doomed, or that your kids are doomed, or that, does this make sense? Like, has there been a lie? Like, really, like taking all church aside, this is just you and me talking for a minute. Has there been a lie that the enemy's been playing over and over and over and over and over in your head? Or maybe it's more than one. See, here's what I know, that the enemy uses lies to manipulate behavior. It goes all the way back at Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Adam and Eve are in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. But the serpent said to the woman, they're talking about eating this tree, from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he looks at her and he says, you will not surely die. But yet God had told them that they would. God said, look, if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man, it's the one thing I'm going to tell you not to do. Because, and then the enemy comes up and says, well, is that really what? And then later on he says, well, surely you won't die. And I just wonder this. Wonder if on some level the enemy's telling you the same kind of lie. Maybe God's telling you to spend more time investing in your marriage, but the enemy's trying to tell you that it's already dead. Or maybe you're praying for your kids, but the enemy's trying to talk you out of keep praying for your kids because it's hopeless. Or maybe your finances seem like they're just so far gone they can never come back. But yet the Lord is sitting there saying, man, I am Jehovah Jireh. I'm your provider. And so there's these two scripts that are playing, but you can only read one script at a time. I just wonder how many lies have you bought into that today, right now, God is trying to set you free from. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Paul writes this, but I'm afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve with his cunning. Let me ask you a question. How is the devil trying to be cunning and get you to believe something that isn't true? How is the devil trying to manipulate the way you think to get you to act a certain way? Do you know that by definition, the term act is to pretend to be pretend to be something that you're not. That's kind of a general definition of acting. So, you know, if I suddenly try to take on a British accent, which I am not going to do, like in my head I got ready to, but I'm not going to try to do that. That doesn't make me British. It just makes me an American with a horribly cheesy British accent. Or have you ever seen somebody try to do like an impersonation of somebody, and they're like just convinced that they've got it nailed, and you're looking at them like, stop. Well, here's the thing. When the enemy tries to use cunning, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get you to act like something other than what you really are. Because God said that you are certain things, and we're going to talk about those. But God said, man, you're certain things. But then the enemy tries to get you to act like you're less than or something different than what God's called you to be. See, some of you guys, man, you're called to be great parents if you would just believe that God created you with great parents. Because here's the thing. God said that before you were formed or fashioned, or before you were created in your mother's womb, I formed you and fashioned you and created you with a purpose and a destiny. Meaning this, that God assigned that baby to that mama. And that if that mama would just live in godliness, submitting herself to God, resisting the enemy, that she can be the mom that God created her to be amazingly for that child. That if you got married, we believe that what God joined together, let no man separate. We believe that marriage is forever. So man, you're created to be the perfect spouse for your spouse. You may not be perfect, but you're perfect for them. And we believe this, that if you'll live up to everything that God called you to be, and they will live up to everything that God called them to be, that you can have the most amazing marriage. And the lie that the enemy's going to tell you is that you can't have that. You are called to walk in fellowship with God. From Genesis, God said, in the cool of the day, God walked with man. And then Jesus came and he walked on earth with man. And then Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. So it's always God's desire has always been to be with you. The lie that the enemy's going to tell you, the cunningness that he's going to try to get you to convince, is that you weren't made to walk with God, that you can ever only go to some spiritual level, that somehow you're less than. That's how cunning he is. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, but be sober-minded. See, sometimes I feel like sometimes you can get drunk on things that aren't alcohol-related or aren't drug-related. I think sometimes you can get drunk on thoughts. Have you ever had a depressing thought that came into your head and it wasn't even real, but man, you just kept replaying that liar, liar thing, man. You just kept playing that lie over and over and over again till suddenly, man, you were in such a funk. Like, I mean, I've had them that have lasted 2 or 3 days. And then all of a sudden, I've kind of had this wake up moment. And I mean, wait a minute, I'm depressed over something that isn't even happened. I have actually watched a movie. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that every guy, without losing his guy card, gets one girl thing that he can do. Like, some guys, it's you know, their fingernails. Some guys, it's, I know a guy who he loves good smelling soap. For me, it's Hallmark movies. Judge me however you want to. I like a good Hallmark movie because I can tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a guy and a girl, and there's going to be a little bit of conflict, then there's going to be a resolution, then they're going to kiss in the snow, and that's about an hour and a half's worth of stuff. And so I sit there, and I'm like, man, I like that, but there have been times where I've gone and I've watched like these really depressing movies. Like, I did not know that I believe it's Nicholas Sparks, I think is the guy's name. He writes all these like girl books, but they're super depressing. He wrote like The Notebook and that kind of thing. And I did not know that like in all of his books, somebody dies. In all of his movies, like just the person you fall in love with, like one of the characters, they're going to bite the dust. That's just going to be all there is to it. I watched one of those movies, and at the end of it, I felt worse emotionally than I did going into it. And I try to avoid things that make me feel bad. But you know what? Some of us watch the same movie and of our life, not a literal movie, but we play these same thoughts over and over in our head till we almost become unsober on the thoughts. Because not to be sober, if you've ever dealt with a person who's intoxicated, they're not even living in the same world that you are. They're laughing at stuff that's not funny. They're crying over stuff that's not sad. They can't walk. They can't talk. They can't. And you know what? Fear looks a lot like that. Lies look a lot like that. When you're not walking in the truth, you're not walking soberly. You're walking with an impairment. So James, 1 Peter 5:8 says this, so be sober-minded. Don't let your thoughts get unstable. Don't let them get out of skew. In other words, this, Paul says in one place, he said, and you need to take captive your thoughts. You need to think about what you're thinking about. And is what you're thinking about lined up with what God says? He said, so be sober-minded. Be watchful, man. You got to pay attention. If I told you to go out and stand on the road and I said, man, don't let any red trucks by, you would know what to watch for, right? You would stop the red trucks. Well, God said, I want you to pay attention. I want you to be watchful of the thoughts that you have. And the ones that don't line up with what I say about you and about your future and about the destiny. Jeremiah 29:11, God said this. He said, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you and prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Well, any thought that enters your mind that doesn't line up with that isn't from God. And so when I see those things, hey, whoa, 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 stop. So here's what I want you to do. I'll show you how easy it is to control your thoughts. Because people go, man, I just get this thing going and I can't stop it. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about a fear. So better yet, let's do this. I want you to think about your street address. So just start saying it over and over again in your head. Just you know, whatever it is. The church address is, I just blanked on the church address, 3041 Belmont Mount Hermon Road. So 3041 Belmont Mount Hermon. So I'm just playing that in my head. Then out loud, I want you to begin to count 1 to 10. 1. Out loud, 1, 2, keep playing that street address. The thing you're going to figure out is this, is that you can't do both at the same time. Your head will give way to your mouth every time. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. When you begin to have these thoughts, if you don't know anything but Jeremiah 29:11, and the enemy comes in and says, look, your kids are never going to amount to anything. Wait a minute. I know the plans God has for me and my children, declares the Lord. Plans to bless us and prosper us and give us a hope and a future. So you know what? That's a lie. So I'm just going to start saying Jeremiah 29:11 out loud over and over until I hear it and I beat that thought down. That's submitting to God and resisting the devil. He says, so be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Now everybody gets this imagery of a lion, and they're like, look how powerful the devil is. And I'm like, no, it didn't say he was a lion. It said he was like a roaring lion. And can I be honest with you? If you would get this into your mind that the devil, his job before he was the devil was he was a choir director in heaven. He was a worship leader in heaven. Nobody fears the worship leader. Like if you're going to fight anybody in the church, and I don't mean to insult Liz, but if you're going to fight anybody in the church, generally it's not like people don't run from the worship leader. Because most of the time you think about the worship leader like kind of in that David sense where he leapt before the Lord, right? Like, and I love worship leaders. I love our worship leader. I love people that do worship. Our musicians are amazing. But generally, that's not the dude you fear. I tell people all the time, if you would take any horror movie and insert a real person of faith, that horror movie would be over in about 30 minutes. Because they're not going to put up with that stuff. Because they know who they are in Christ. And they know the power that they have over evil. And they know, right? So I sit there and I'm like, man, if you understand that the enemy that's telling you these lies is roaring around like a lion, he's pretending to be something that he's not. My question is, why are you afraid of him? Why are you afraid of the thoughts that he's putting in your head? Because all they are is thoughts. The enemy, the devil, let's just call him what he is. The devil has no power to make anything happen. People are like, ooh, look at these demonic stuff. And I'm like, man, let me tell you the truth. The truth is God has more power than the devil ever had. If you read the book of Job, you understand that the devil is subject to God on so many fronts. Matter of fact, in Job, when the devil comes in to get permission to attack Job, the first thing God said is this, where have you been? It's not because God lost track of where the devil was. God's omnipresent, all-knowing, and all this stuff. And he did it so that the devil had to tell him what he'd been doing. And then as a matter of fact, the devil said, God looks at him and says, well, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, I can't because you keep a hedge around him. You've protected him. And what the devil was saying was this, is I can't touch something you've told me I can't. So here's my challenge to you. If you would trust God more than you feared the devil, because all the devil is a liar. And if you'll take captive those thoughts, man, you can live with the freedom that you've never had before. Here's the thing. Most people would not disagree with anything I'm getting ready to say. Would you agree that God is a provider? Would you agree that God heals people? Would you agree that God loves everybody and that God would forgive anybody and that God would fill in anything else, that God would want any mother to be a good parent to their child and any father to be a good parent to their child and that God does miracles and that God heals people. And I mean, just let your imagination go run wild. People don't, as a rule, have a problem believing that stuff. What they have a problem believing is that God would do it for them, that God would do it for you. How much different would your faith walk be if you believed what you know about the character of God? In other words, what God is willing to do. What if for one time in your life you began to say, you know what? God not only would do that for somebody else, but God would do it for me, and God wants to do it for me. Because God said this, he said, I am no respecter of persons. So if God's willing to do it for them, he's willing to do it for you. I wouldn't buy my son an ice cream cone and leave the neighbor's kid who I adopted without one. Why would God do that to you? You're adopted into his family. If you've accepted Christ, you're one of his kids. God wouldn't give one kid something without giving the other one something. Now I may give it to him first. Because you remember popsicle days? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But I love some banana popsicles on the two sticks. And sometimes your parents break them in half. You only get one popsicle out at a time. So just because my sister may have gotten one first doesn't mean that I wasn't going to get one. Just because somebody got something ahead of you doesn't mean that God's not willing to do it for you. You just have to keep pressing for it. You have to keep believing it. You have to beat down that lie that's playing in your head that God's not going to, that he won't. Does this make sense? And that's where sometimes you just need to look at the devil and go, liar, liar, pants on fire. Man, I don't believe this. You're trying to get me to convince what you believe, and you're a liar, and you're the father of all lies. I'm not buying this lie anymore. Matter of fact, there's freedom from this. Again, James 4:7 begins to speak to our freedom. And I know I read it earlier on, but it said, submit yourselves to God, therefore. Man, submit your way of thinking to God. Submit your way of talking to God. Your way of believing to God. Talk and think like God. And then resist the devil and he'll flee. John 8:32 says this, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Man, when you know the truth that's God's word, it'll set you free. When you know what God says about you and about your life and about your future and about your destiny, when you know the truth, when you know Jesus, when you know what Jesus said about you and the hope of it, when you know the care, man, even if I don't know the exact scripture, I go, God, I know that you love people and that you said that you'd forgive people. And I don't even know where it's written in scripture, but if you'll forgive them, you'll forgive me. So God, right now, forgive me. I know that God, if you've provided for somebody else, Lord, you'll provide for me. So God, I don't know the scripture, but I know it's in your word. So does this make sense, man? When you just begin to believe it and you begin to play that in your mind and in your mouth rather than these lies that the enemy told you. Matter of fact, John 17:17 says this, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. He said this, he said, man, sanctify them in the truth. Make them holy and make them right with you, because what's holy and right is found in your word. So how do we combat the devil? How do we not believe all these lies that the devil wants us to buy into and that he wants us to believe? And we resist him. We resist him with our actions. We also resist him with our mouth and with our mind. Because the enemy, the only way the enemy can really attack you is by planting thoughts in your mind. And if you'll confess the things that God said about you, you'll resist the enemy and he'll flee. I don't know what kind of lie that you've been buying into. Maybe you've bought into it your whole life. Maybe it's about your weight. Maybe it's about your intelligence. Maybe it's about your worthiness. Maybe I don't know the lie, but right now you know it, because the Holy Spirit's just bringing it to the forefront of your mind. Right now you know exactly the thing that the lie that the Lord's trying to set you free from. And I'm just going to encourage you to begin to confess what God said about you, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made perfect because God made you exactly the way he wants you. You are wonderful this morning. And you're wonderful because God said you're wonderful. You may not fit every mold that everybody ever created, but you'll fit the one that God created for you. So if you're watching today, I want you to know, man, that there's freedom from depression and there's freedom from all these attacks that the enemy's been putting in your mind. And right now, if you've never accepted Jesus, in-house or online, I want to give you an opportunity to accept him right now. If that's you, if you're in-house, will you just raise your hand? If you say, you know what, Pastor, I've never accepted God, but today I've got to break free from these lies. If you're watching this on our online campus, there's going to be a box, man. If that's you, just smash that hand up button. You know what? I want to accept Jesus today, man. I'm raising my hand. This is me right now. I'm getting ready to pray this prayer. If you're listening to this on a podcast, man, you raise your hand in your car. I mean, safely, but raise your hand in your car. Whatever you need to do, you need to acknowledge. And if you're a place where you can't raise your hand, man, you lift your heart up and say, God, that's me today. Then I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me, no matter where you are. Will you pray this prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And help me to break free from the lies of the enemy. Today I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, we believe that if you prayed that prayer, that you accepted Christ, that you're now right with God. Man, that's the beginning of the journey. If you want to really know how to go deep on this journey, will you email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Man, we would just love to connect you with somebody who can help you with some discipleship and grow in your faith. But you know what, if you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I've been a Christian a long time, but I keep buying the lies of the enemy. And today I want to pray for you. I'm going to tell you how you break free from this. Whatever you're battling, you need to find a scripture. Even if it's Jeremiah 29:11. You can steal mine because I didn't write it. My name's not Jeremiah and I didn't write the Bible. So you can have it. Does that make sense? So whenever I begin to battle fear and I begin to battle worry and I begin to have these things, man, I go back to Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans that the Lord has for me. Their plans to bless me and prosper me and give me a hope and a future. And I'll say them over and over and I'll begin to magnify the Lord. God, I know the plans you have for me. God, this is a lie from the devil. I'm not going to think this way. I'm not going to write. Man, I'm just believing God. And when you do that, you resist the enemy. He'll flee, man. You'll find freedom that you've never found before. Before we go, I want to pray with you. Father, this morning I pray for every person that's here, every person that's listening under the sound of my voice. Father, today we know that the devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. And Father, today we're tired of listening to his lies. God, today freedom comes. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, will you just begin to illuminate scripture, God, to these your people, God, that they'll know, Father, what you would have them to say, God, how that you want them to resist the enemy. Father, as they walk in that word, as they resist the enemy, God, we know that he'll flee in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in and through their life. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope that this message blesses you. We hope that you find freedom in it, that you resist the enemy because he's a liar. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you and we can't wait to see you again next time.